Listen to this song for Easter. Psalm 118. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Gospel of John, chapter 20, we read his account of Easter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up and placed by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed that the body was gone. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that he was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuna," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This past, present, and future so compressed, so compact as yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we have to step back a little bit to get a better perspective. How about last week, Holy Week? And this week, Resurrection Day? And next week? Sometimes we have to admit if it wasn't for the weekend, we really couldn't tell the difference between one week and another. Well, how about last month, this month, next month? If it wasn't for the change in the seasons, we might not notice the difference. What about last year, this year, next year? Well, April 15th is coming, so we all know whether it's been a good year or not so good. But the question is, where do we stand to think, or how do we act, so as to understand where we've been, and where we are, and where we're going? That's an Easter question. And there's only one place to stand to answer that, and that's the present. Because the present is where past and future meet. This is where what has been in the past interacts with what will be the future. So, where in our present is the vantage point that's going to work best? Resurrection of Jesus Christ in the past assures our life in the future and empowers us now in the present. That fact, Easter, is the now spot, the meeting place of time and eternity, the historical always that blends the past and the present and the future all together. Listen to these snapshots found in Psalm 118 and think about Easter now, present. Hark, glad songs of victory. I shall not die, but I shall live. He has not given me over to death. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. See, all that is fulfilled in Easter, in the resurrection of Jesus. So, how do we look at Jesus, Easter, Resurrection Day? Because how we consider Jesus Christ determines how we're going to make sense out of past and present and future. In Eastern Church, Greek and Russian Orthodox and the like, they stay very close to the manger. Christmas, because they feel that the incarnation, God made flesh, that's central, and it is. The Western Church, Roman Catholic and Western European Protestants, they linger at the cross, and they take that as the central symbol of God's presence with us, and that's good too. But both of those events, incarnation, crucifixion, are past, historical, and over. That's what I was trying to say in children's sermon. If it wasn't for the resurrection, both good accept the historical fact of the resurrection. Why and how, none of us so sure, but we accept it or we wouldn't be here today. But how do we know that Jesus Christ is living today? How real is he? Now, before we get lost in that question, remember, Peter and John didn't know how to do that question either. Peter ran to the tomb to outrun his cowardness and his denial. John outran Peter to outrun Peter. John didn't dare go into the tomb until Peter arrived. And then they saw for themselves where Jesus was not. What do we read? They went home. They found the empty tomb. There wasn't enough. Because they did not find Jesus there. And neither would we have found him there, nor would we have found the faith at the empty tomb any easier than the faith with which we have come today. And that leads us to another question. What are we looking for in Jesus Christ? Mary Magdalene was looking for a dead body. So much so that when she met the risen Christ, she assumed he was the caretaker. She was dedicated. She was a whole lot braver than the rest of them. She was confused. She certainly was not looking for a living Jesus. She didn't recognize him. She didn't even recognize his voice until in one of the most poignant portions of the whole Easter account, we hear him say, "Mary." And in that instant, her whole worldview, her past, her present, her future, burst their boundaries, never to be the same again. Oh, how about us? While we look at the past and to the future, the living Christ asks, "Do you recognize me now? Presently?" Now we need a very present demonstration. And one time Jesus suggested, "As you do it to the one of the least of these, you do it unto me." But that's not what we want. Mary needed something to confirm her experience. So she knelt before him, she touched his feet. That was a very common expression of worship and devotion in those days. It was kind of a combination bow and hug. And Jesus said to her, "Mary, even this is past. Because I have more to do, and so do you. You go and tell the disciples, I have seen the Lord." So Mary had to go and tell them where to look for what they were looking for. Jesus. And we're not any different. We all need to confirm our faith. We want to be able to say what Mary said, "I have seen the Lord." So what are we looking for? This is not the time to hear the preacher's pet project so we can all get lost in doing it unto the least of them for their benefit and ours. No. This Easter, presently, moves us to seek Jesus and to follow him and to ask and find out, like Mary, what he wants. So Roger went off to be an emergency room nurse in Grand Haven, Michigan. And he was good at it. He even developed a special way to take fish hooks out of fishermen, written up in medical journals. He had a very successful career as an emergency room nurse. But he always wanted to be a missionary. Well, Roger retired. Now Roger goes on mission trips that he finances himself. He's been to the dump in Mexico City many times where a million people live. Presently, he's going into South America, places that he says even he can't get to, but he gets there. Small plane, truck, canoe, walking. And he's doing mission work. I said to him, Roger, how did this happen? And what he said, I will never forget. He said, I finally said in my prayers, Lord, the answer is yes. Now what's the question? He wasn't afraid to do that. And notice with me, in the scripture lesson, that Jesus was looking forward to meeting his disciples. He wasn't angry with them, as well he could have been, or should I say as we would have been if we had been deserted like he was. He was not ashamed of them, as they were of themselves, what they did, what they didn't do. And they had absolutely nothing to fear in meeting him, even though they were backed right up to the edge of terror. He was dead and now he's alive. But what they came to understand is that they had nothing to fear of him or anything else. Life, death, evil, nothing held any power over them anymore except the power of God's love demonstrated in the risen Christ. So now for us, as we believe the past facts of Jesus' resurrection, and we look forward to the future promise of eternal life, today we do it in the present, which is the only place that past and future meet. Because Jesus is risen. That means that you and I presently can forgive whatever and whoever we need to, and so confirm our own forgiveness. We can go from this place here, this present Easter, new and different people, because Christ not was, not will be, but because Christ is risen. Love God and our neighbors and ourselves in the present, openly, boldly, with abandon and daring, because Christ is risen. Not going to be easy. It will not go unnoticed. But the resurrection says we can do it. We can seek God's way and His will in our present, because presently Christ is risen. And you and I can know that we will find His will and His power, not because Christ is risen in the past, and not because we will rise in the future, but because Christ is risen. This is Easter. This is the meeting of past. Christ is risen. Did you feel the power in those words? Past and future meet right here and right now. And so right now ask yourself, how shall I forgive where I need to? How shall I love where I can? And how will I live as I must? The answer to those questions is possible now, where past and future meet, because Christ is risen. Amen. Let's pray. We give you thanks.